Joining us now is Penny Collins. Good morning, Penny.
Morning.
How are you doing, man?
Doing all right. This morning.
Well, let's talk about the week that was. We're going to get into last night, obviously the two-point loss at home to North Carolina A&T, 78-76. But I just want to sort of, since last we visited, I just started realizing this. Last Sunday morning when I talked to you, you were in Baltimore, and Coach Kern was in Louisville. And if that's not indicative of what these past month have been about, it's for both of these well-traveled programs. But let's go back to the win. Before we look at last night, let's go back and visit since we last talked. Good win at Coppin State, 64-55.
Yep. We had guys came out, and, man, we got a tough-fought, hard-fought road victory against Coppin State. And, you know, we felt like that was a game that we could win. And we fought through some adversity, and guys found a way to win at the end of the game.
Well, and two, you talked about it. Winning on the road is never easy. And when you do that, I'd almost think, I know a lot of coaches, it's almost a sense of relief because you go into someone else's building. But it seemed like your team responded every time they made a run.
Yeah, we had some resiliency in our guys. You know, the one thing I can say about our team is that we have a never-quit mentality. And we came out with some pop in that game and took a nice lead, and they made a run and cut it back and actually took the lead in the second half. And we didn't fold. We stayed just connected, and it was just a little spurt we had, a little 10-2 run we had in the last 8 minutes of the game that kind of put us over the top.
Well, a few things, and I'm just looking, you know, you go straight to the numbers. You know, rebounding, 37-35. I know last night you out-rebounded North Carolina A&T, and going into last night's game in rebounding, you were plus 1.9, so right at plus 2 in the rebounding differential. And, you know, you're not the biggest inside. You're long and lean and play big, but that's got to be encouraging, the way you're getting after it on the glass.
Yeah, this is something we've been really emphasizing. We know that the team that wins a defensive rebounding battle gives ourselves the best chance to win every game. And last night, you know, we just kept on harping on it even in halftime. You know, we got to win the rebounding battle. Let's win the rebounding battle. And we did. But the Achilles heel last night was turnovers.
Yeah, and then Coppin State forcing 23 turnovers, and I didn't, you know, obviously wasn't at the game last Sunday. Last night was, but I like the way you're changing defenses. Not only, you know, obviously that maybe that 1-2-2-3 quarter court trap, you drop it back a little bit, and then you're changing in the half court from man to man to 2-3. But I really thought that 1-3-1 half court trap when you got Damari Moore out on the top, 6'8" and long, really causes a lot of problems for teams.
Yeah, it does, and it's something we worked a lot on. And he's really good at it, and our guys, they buy into it. They enjoy playing it, and changing defense is something that we just feel like we have to do. We can't stay one way too long and let teams figure us out. Especially like you said, when you don't have a lot of strong interior depth and size, you have to be creative on how we're going to guard. So that's one of the things that this team's going to do, and we're getting better at it, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, last Sunday, Dante Fitzpatrick Dorsey, 18 points. And last night, he had 23 points. And again now in seven games in double digits. It's the fifth time he's led your team in scoring. And you want the production to come from your leading scorer, obviously. And it's 17 points a game, leading your team going into last night, fourth in the OVC. But we were talking with Albert Dawson on the broadcast over 102.1 The Ville in last night, is that that's a sneaky 23. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know at halftime that I thought he was playing really bad. I kind of loved him. He didn't have as much pop as he had. I was sort of kind of just favoring it. He just kind of wincing the entire game. But at halftime, I saw he had 13 points. I couldn't believe it. I was like, dang, 13-5. Then at the end of the game, he has 23. And he made some really big plays for us. He drove to the basket and made some tough finishes at the basket, and made a lot of big free throws in the game. And he's just a warrior. He's giving us everything he's got on that court, and we need Dante to continue to play like that.
And it's DFD for me, because when you trying to do a play by play, you don't Fitzpatrick Dorsey, you know, he's now DFD to Albert. DFD. I mean, and he's come in and the billing, of course, kid out of Memphis, transfer from Ole Miss, and this year and next year you'll have him at Coppin State. Some numbers that just jump off at me in that win up there: 13 steals. You know, there's one thing to create turnovers, but 13 steals, third time you've been in double digits into that, and you went into last night's game averaging 8.6 steals per game. That was 35th best in the nation. And so, just your philosophy, is it passing lanes? Is it how do you go about it?
Well, I just think changing defenses that keeps teams off balance. And then, then randomly, you throw the traps out there, and that keeps teams off balance as well. And then we got some guys that have some inner just feel of how to get in those passing lanes and when to get in those passing lanes, like Emmanuel, Damari Moore, and Dante. And those guys just have a knack for reading defense. So that's kind of how it goes. It's not like that we're just telling guys to deny, full deny, or anything like that. It's just putting guys in position and trying our best to keep teams off balance, and game plan changes game to game.
Well, in Coppin State's 23 turnovers, you had 25 points off of them, and you'll take that every time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Anytime we can turn defense and offense, we're doing that every time.
TSU Basketball Coaches Show, Brian Penny Collins with us here this morning. And last night, I know, was tough to take. You started slow, down 13-2. You fought your way back, tied it at halftime, got to that early lead in the second half. And then it was just, you know, and overall, there weren't a lot of fouls in that game. I thought it was a really well, clean played game, quite frankly, by both teams.
Yeah, I thought that, they came out – you know, they just had more energy and pop in us in the beginning of the game. And some of it was they just made some incredible shots and we were there. And it's kind of like – but it just drains you as a team when you see the other team make tough baskets and then you're not scoring on the other end. But we stayed with it because we understand that basketball is a game of runs. And, you know, they were up, 13-2, whatever it was. And then we come back and cut it to 3. Then they go on another run to go up 8-10. Then we come back and tie it up at halftime. And I felt like our guys – confidence level was where it needed to be, and we would come out and if we could play the same kind of intensity that we ended the half with, that it would put us in position to have a good second half.
Well, yeah, and you know, when you see that, and it wasn't that your team wasn't flat, you were flat or ready, you wasn't ready to play, but you mentioned that they made 6 of their first 7 shots, and a 2 or 3 of them, you go, well, if you're going to hit those all game, you know, it's one of those kind of shots, right? If you're going to make that the whole game, we're in trouble because, you know, that's the kind of shot we want you taking. They were making them, and so they got that energy. But I like the fact, though, it no panic, obviously, and you just chipped away, and, you know, you mentioned that other run, then you chipped away back in, and it was tied by halftime.
Yep. And so, you know, that's one thing I can say about our guys, and even talking to other coaches after we play them and talking to, you know, coaches that have watched us play. One thing about our guys is they're not going to quit. Our team is not going to quit. So if you think you're going to get a lead on us and then we're just going to lay down, that's not going to play hard and keep coming at you. And that's what happened last night. But I don't feel like we played our best basketball last night. I feel like we lacked energy the last 12 minutes of the game, and that, to me, that was just the difference. This is the first game where I feel like our guys just didn't bring the juice like we should have when the game really mattered, and when we had a chance to put them away, we didn't.
Well, and also you mentioned it, you know, people hitting shots. Malik Gantz last night had 27 points. Senior guard, he came in the game averaging 6 points per game. And then Quay Copeland, the MTSU transfer, we know about him, he had 25, and he came in the game averaging 10. And those were the guys making the shots, man. I know you did a good job on their leading scorer, Harris. He only had, I believe, 6 for the game, something like that. And but you never know where it's going to come from sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, that was something we really talked about in our game plan was to – to really key on Harris and not let him have a big game. He was coming off a game where he hit 27 points, seven threes in the first half, and we really wanted to key on him and not let him have a big game on us. So we did a good job of guarding him, but the other two guards really hurt us. And we knew both of these guys could play, but didn't expect them to have that monster of a game. And once the bleeding started, we couldn't stop it. Those guys were already in a rhythm, and we couldn't get stops late in the game. And that's what I'm talking about our lack of pop and lack of energy and want to. You know, we just didn't have that mental toughness and physical toughness to get it done on the defensive end late in the game.
Did that surprise you?
Yes. Like I said, this is the first game where I felt like, oh my gosh, our guys just don't have it. Our coaching staff has done an unbelievable job of trying to make sure our guys are, you know, we're going through a tough stretch. You know, we had a tough road trips and we played a tough schedule, and we've done a good job of maintaining and not trying to overkill guys and keep making sure we're keeping them good and healthy and full of energy, fresh minds and fresh legs. But yesterday was just a little disturbing to me that we didn't have that pop and that energy to finish that game. So, and it wasn't just the guards, you know, late in the game. Even though Stokely was playing great late in the game, he couldn't get a stop down low. We let their big man score maybe two or three possessions in a row where, you know, earlier in the season or even, you know, against Kentucky, West Kentucky, you know, he's not letting that guy turn the corner like that. So, just the small things, man, and, you know, it's things that we can correct. So, disappointing, but I know we can fix it.
Well, and you mentioned Stokely Chaffee. He had all 13 of his points in the second half last night, and he also led you in rebounding, which he does on average as well. He had 8 going into the game 7, but 13 in that second half. He had that pop in the second half, but, you know, they were going over the top. I mean, you know, and I think you're going to face that a lot. People are just going to try to just sort of, if no other way to describe it, sort of ram it down your throat, take it right to the hole, take it right at you.
And that's something we're going to continue to try to make adjustments on so that we can be prepared for that. I feel like North Carolina A&T is a really good team and well-coached team, and I feel like that's a similar game that we're going to see in the league with Tennessee Tech or UT Martin, teams of that caliber. And, you know, if that's an indication of how we're going to play, I'm encouraged that, you know, it's a two-point ball game, tie game, and we have a chance to win the game. But I'm encouraged that we can make the adjustments and we can be a really competitive team come OVC play.
TSU Basketball Coaches Show, Penny Collins. After this upcoming break, we'll look at the week that's coming up. It doesn't get any easier. for the Tigers, Tuesday at Akron, next Saturday at Memphis, and the following Saturday at Vanderbilt before we get into to conference play. Do want to mention Tripp Davis. I thought he gave you a lot of energy off the bench and sort of a designated shooter, if you will. But he had 11 of your 13 points off the bench. The good news, he had 11 of the 13. The bad news is the rest of the bench only scored 2.
Right. Yeah. Tripp, this is an unbelievable kid, man. Just always focused and somebody that, you know, we can always rely on every game. And, you know, he has opportunities. He's going to take advantage of them. And he made some really good plays and had some great driving layups and hit some big shots for us. Tripp's going to have to continue to do that for us all season long. He's going to be a big part of what we're trying to do here.
Well, I want to mention, you know, obviously local kid out of Lighthouse Christian, 6'3", redshirt junior guard for you. Had 24 earlier this year for his career high. One other I want to touch on because we're seeing more and more minutes coming from him, and it just seems like he's fitting into the college game even more. Well, he obviously was at the JUCO level, but we mentioned him early, Damari Moore, 6'8", junior, the transfer from Southwest Tennessee Community College out of Brooklyn, and it just seems like his minutes are increasing, and He has length, but he has some skills. He can almost be a point forward for you, if you will. I know I saw him bringing the ball up a few times and everything out on the top of that 1-3-1 trap with his length. I think, you know, as I see more and more of his role evolving.
Yeah, you know, we just feel like with his length and his ability to guard many multiple positions, and then his ability to be, you know, on the top of the zones, and he's really good with his. He has a 7'3" wingspan, and we just feel like he can disrupt other teams when he's out there. And once he gets more and more comfortable, you know, offensively, he's a very good passer and a really good driver. And, you know, the more and more comfortable he gets, the better his offensive output will be. But you look at the stat sheet and you say, well, you know, he does not much production on the stat sheet, but he does so many other intangible things that help our team with deflections and guarding other teams' best perimeter player. And you know, I'm just glad that he's continuing to come along. And he's another guy that he's not even at the level yet that we need him to be, but once he gets there, he's going to be a key piece, just like Tripp off the bench.
Well, and you know, played 18 minutes last night, but I think he understands his role. He didn't take a shot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's his role or not, but
yeah. Sometimes that's just as important as a guy as Dante. You know, got people to understand their role, and when people understand their role and they can play it to the best of their ability, then they're just as important as the next man.
Kamar McKnight, 6 points below his average, struggled a little bit last night, certainly from the field with Kamar, 3 of 11 and 8 points. But I was doing this. I write down on my little thing that I, you know, do the, you know, my score sheet and everything, everybody's career highs, and that way I'll know. And I got looking at his career highs this year, and it's – not like they're coming against some, you know, whatevers. 30 points at Western Kentucky and 9 rebounds at Kentucky. Will you just tell him you're playing a Power 5 every game, okay?
Yeah. You know, that's the thing about Kamar that was frustrating last night is that, like, you know, you've shown us how great you can be. You know, I tell him all the time, like, if you didn't want me to hold you to a high standard, then you shouldn't have shown me how great you can be. So last night, he just didn't have, you know, he didn't have that, the same thing I keep on repeating about having that pop and having energy. He just didn't have it last night. And he was trying to get out of it. And there were a couple plays that he made that could have went the other way. Offensive foul call late in the game where he which we thought was an and one. He got called an offensive foul, which, looking back at it, it was. But, you know, little plays like that, if that gets called, now he has 11 points and he's, you know, now he's got his rhythm going and, you know, he gets his mojo going a little bit more. But, you know, that's just something that he's going to have to learn too. And he's in a different role this year. We're expecting more out of him. And, you know, sometimes the mark of a really good player, a really great player, is what are you doing to do to affect the game when you're not scoring? You know, how are you going to be when you're not? When you're not scoring. So he wasn't scoring last night, and so he's got to learn that, okay, if I'm not scoring, I got to do everything else. So this is a good lesson for him. So he'll be better for it. Kamar's another player that, you know, he's like Dante. He's got to be locked in. He's going to have to be a consistent scorer for us every game, but he's got to do more than just score.
One other note, we're going to take a break, then look ahead to the upcoming week. I do want to mention this with Dante Fitzpatrick Dorsey, DFD, and, of course, with the 23 last night. He did have 7 rebounds. He's a stat stuffer, and you don't know it. And the average is right at 4.5 rebounds per game. I'm thinking off the top of my head that I think that's second on the team in rebounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's got to understand that that's what he has to do every game. I mean, that's just part of it. You know, we need you to rebound the ball. And underrated thing about him, he's got a very high basketball IQ. He can get in the paint and kick and find people. And he's played a lot of point guard in his career. He's kind of moved off the ball a little bit now. But he's a good player. And, you know, we just try to do our best to put him in position to create and for himself and others.
You know what? I was just thinking about what I like about his game. It never seems like he's in a hurry. That doesn't mean he's not moving fast, but it just seems like, of course he is. I mean, he's your leading scorer, and he played at Ole Miss, out of Memphis, well-recruited and everything. But it just doesn't – and maybe that's how, well, I was talking about how sneaky it is that he had 23 last night. You don't realize it, but it just seems like he's never in a hurry.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, that's that Memphis era. He's been playing his whole life, and he's just got a great feel for the game. It is funny that you said it seems like he's not in a hurry, because one of the things he has to work on is he has to start slowing down and making the correct read off time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when he does make mistakes, it's because he is forcing the issue a little too much or going a little too fast. But, you know, I think he had 4 turnovers last night, and a couple of them were just bonehead mistakes. And one that stands out in my mind right now is late in the game. You know, he gets an offensive foul call by just going too fast and tried to, you know, cut and ran a guy over. So, There's just, you know, there's some things that he's got to clean up about his game, but when he's hitting on all cylinders, he's one of the best guards in OVC.
TSU basketball coach Jessica Kern, Lady Tigers coach, will join us from Chicago here in a little while. We'll take a break when we come back. A little short segment looking ahead to the upcoming week. Tuesday night at Akron and then down at the FedEx Forum on Saturday against Memphis, 2 o'clock, broadcast 145 on 102.1 The Ville. More with Penny when we come back.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Webb apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers in constant communication with the home office. 7 day a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit FreemanWebb.com. That's FreemanWebb.com.
Traffic. It can be more stressful than that last second Hail Mary pass, but Nissan changed the game. Nissan Rogue has available Nissan Intelligent Mobility, like ProPilot Assist, that can start and stop in highway traffic all on its own and help keep you centered. Nissan Rogue. It's a game changer. It's a Nissan, proud partner of the Tennessee State Tigers. ProPilot Assist is an available feature and cannot prevent collisions. Always monitor traffic conditions. Keep both hands on the steering wheel. See owner's manual for safety information.
I love my community. And as a doting dad...
Daddy's home!
A devoted son...
There you are, Joe!
And a good neighbor...
Hey, man!
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The TSU Tigers and Lady Tigers basketball seasons are underway, with both teams facing tough out-of-conference games on their runs to OVC championships. The Tigers' new head coach, Brian Penny Collins, hits the ground running with non-conference games at Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Western Kentucky, and Memphis, on top of a grinding OVC schedule. Second-year Lady Tigers coach Jessica Kern readies her talented core of young and promising players, led by OVC Player of the Year candidate senior Tia Wooten. For home game season tickets and all things TSU athletics, log on to TSUTigers.com.
Hey, TOA!
What's that about?
TOA cheer.
TOA?
You know, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance.
Why are they cheering for them?
Well, they take care of more athletes in Middle Tennessee than anyone, treating joints, bones, muscles.
So if one of these players needs help, they should call TOA?
Yeah, or they can just yell, because there's likely a TOA physician already on the sidelines. They love football.
Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, official team physician of TSU Tigers Athletics. Visit TOA.com today.
The big guy's not gonna like these.
Why not? They're slim, light, and easy to add on to gifts. He'll be over his sled when he sees them.
I don't know, Reggie. There's more to the Tennessee Lottery Holiday Instant Games than you think. We're giving away real chances to win. And guess who has to deliver all that loot?
I don't know. The lottery?
Oh, good point.
This winter, get to work on our newest bundle of holiday instant games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, elf-approved fun. Please play responsibly.
Game day is every day at Wyatt Johnson Ford. Our depth chart is unbeatable. Over 800 vehicles. Wyatt Johnson Ford, family owned for over 70 years. And every new Ford includes Wyatt Johnson's exclusive warranty for life. Wyatt Johnson Ford. We are Tiger fans. 648 Thompson Lane, Nashville. Online, WyattJohnsonFord.com. We give you more at Wyatt Johnson. Non-factory limited powertrain warranty good at participating dealers nationwide. See dealer for details.
TSU Basketball Coaches Show. Lady Tigers coach Jessica Kern here in a little while. She's up in Chicago where her team plays DePaul tomorrow night. Penny Collins with us. Before we talk about the Memphis game Saturday, Penny, let's talk about a trip to Akron. I was looking at their schedule. They're 6-4 right now and a MAC team. And again, another road trip for your team.
Yep. It's been a crazy little non-conference schedule for us. We had a tough one last night and got practice today. And we got to fly out tomorrow to head to Akron to play against a team that's picked to win the MAC. So we're happy. We're happy that we don't have a lot of time to cry about this loss. We're going to get to work today and watch the film and be ready to go up there and compete for a win against a really good team.
How much do you know about Akron? Or you just start working on them today?
Just start working on them today. So I know they're a really good team. With some, you know, they got a fantastic coach, and Coach Gross, and they got some really good players as well. So we're looking forward to it. I watched a little bit of them. I watched them play Illinois State earlier this year. Mm-hmm. It's a team that we got to play well to beat them.
Yeah, they're not going to be too happy either. They're coming off a 1-point home loss yesterday to Marshall, 75-74 as well. And then on Saturday, first off, I want to ask you, the Akron game, is that a game you scheduled or did you inherit that?
I don't even remember now. I think that was already on. I want to say that was inherited.
Yeah, okay, but I know one that was Memphis. Talk about playing Penny. Here it is, Penny versus Penny, Tigers versus Tigers. It'll be 2:00 down at the FedEx Forum, and of course, yesterday a big one with Tennessee. Tennessee, I think, wins by 10. But I saw where Memphis put up 92 points on a top three team, and so certainly you know what Penny Hardaway is going to build there. But first off, before we talk about the game itself and maybe some matchups or whatever, how did this game come about?
It came about right away. As soon as I got the job, and you know, he got the Memphis job maybe just a few days before I got the TSU job. We spoke through some text messages, and then when Rodney Hamilton ended up getting the job down there, he's in charge of scheduling. So that was it was just the perfect storm, and we were able to kind of find a few dates, and we found one that worked, and everybody, both parties involved, including presidents and ADs, felt like this was a game that it could be a really fun situation for both institutions, and we got it done right away.
Yeah, you mentioned Rodney Harrison. He was assistant on the TSU staff of Dana Ford last year. He's now director of basketball operations for and going back home, but he's for Penny Hardaway and everything. And I agree with you. I mean, who would not think this is a good game? There's good. You know what's down in Memphis? There's a ton load of TSU alum and fans mm-hmm. in that entire area, so it's always good to get down there.
Absolutely. We're really excited, looking forward to that game. We're going to have a chance to spend some time with a lot of alumni the night before, and we have a lot of people coming to the game. And I actually looked on the ticket list to purchase tickets to see how many were left, and there's not many tickets left. So people that plan on coming down to Memphis to come see us play should go ahead and go buy the tickets online, because they're going really fast.
Well, and it's, you mentioned something too, and I didn't mention about last night. I saw you up in the glass tent area at the arena last night, and it was alumni night, and I saw you and your boss, athletics director Teresa Phillips, speaking to visiting alumni in the Hall of Fame room before the game. And I think this is something you've started, right?
I didn't start this, but I thought it was a great idea to go up and speak to the alumni. We had a full house, and just kind of told them what the vision is for the program and our expectations. And the biggest thing is that we want people to come out and support us on this run through the OVC, which cranks up January 3rd. And you got four straight home games right there to start the season. That could be a crucial four games to get us off to a really hot start. And we want Gentry Center to be packed with alumni, and our students won't be back until maybe the following week, January 15th, something like that. So we're really going to need our fans to come out and support. So that's what that was about. And we want people to give back to the program. And, we're headed in the right direction. And, it's very evident on how hard our guys are playing every game.
And just the exposure, you know, you've played in Rupp Arena. You're going to play in the FedEx Forum. You're going to go over to the Memorial Gym up in Diddle Arena, some really nice basketball buildings, but certainly FedEx Forum down there, and we know. But just looking ahead, I just catching some of yesterday, and I know you're one game at a time, and I'll do your advanced scouting for you, okay? Kyvon Davenport yesterday, 31, and he had 18 in a row in the second half for Memphis. Man, what a player.
Oh, yeah, he's a really, really good player. I actually recruited Davenport when I was at East Tennessee State, so I know all about him and know his family, and watched him play in junior college a lot of games, freshman year and sophomore year. So, he's somebody that not too excited that we got to play against, but you know, figure out a way to try to maintain them. And he had a phenomenal game yesterday.
Yeah, and so just a good game. And talk about, you know, you said when you got the job, it came a few days after Penny Hardaway was named in Memphis. You guys texting mm-hmm. back and forth with each other and everything, and then the game evolved out of that. Just tell me about how do you guys know each other? Just paths have crossed through the basketball times?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, my first time meeting him, I lived in Memphis since I was born all the way through. I was like 11 years old. I moved to Nashville when I was 11. So I first met him when I was a kid, and he would come to community centers and stuff like that. So he didn't remember me from that, but I obviously remember him. And then met him again when I was after college playing in tournaments, just in the basketball world. You know, I ran into him a few times, played against him in some tournaments, and in some men's league tournaments. And then we just kind of bonded, had a relationship after that, and, you know, exchanged numbers. And we've always been in contact over the last, you know, 12-plus years. So it's just really cool to see, you know, somebody that I grew up admiring and really was a role model to me. And to see him get his dream job the same year that I get my dream job, and then we're able to have opportunity to play against his team and coach against his team, it's really, really cool.
Well, it should be fun. Once again, 1:45 pregame, 2 o'clock the tip-off on 102.1 The Ville. Have fun up in Akron. Go get a win, Penny.
Yes, sir. That's the plan, always.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Penny Collins.